Hey, this is Black Hawk Convention Weekend, the 7th annual convention. Are you going? Well, if not, we'll have it covered for you. I'm on the air till 3:30 today when WGN Radio will switch to a live remote from the Chicago Hilton for Sports Central. We've got a lot on deck for you there and here on my show. Brian Tallarico, he is off today, so no TV talk to kick things off. In an hour, your stories of lives that began kind of like with difficult childhoods but ended up as great successes, from hopelessness to people who devote their lives to bettering the world. That'll begin at about 1 o'clock. I've got some examples for you, but I want to hear maybe experiences that you have had, your own life or a family member or a friend that you've heard. Also, at 1:30, the musician as an entrepreneur. It's always interesting to talk about basic entrepreneurs who are doing new apps or new business ventures, but a lot of people in the arts have to be entrepreneurs as well to be successful. And then Joe Siegel, he's going to be here. He's being recognized by the National Endowment for the Arts. He runs the Jazz Showcase, a place that he has been running, though not in the same location, since 1947. Some of the guests and the topics over the next 3.5 hours. By the way, the prize list, a little shorter this week, just one for today's show and one for tomorrow, when, by the way, I'll be talking with a man who may have solved the officially still unsolved crime of the 1966 murder of Valerie Percy, Charles Percy's daughter. If you remember that story, it was quite horrific, still unsolved. But this guest has some very convincing information that he has unearthed. So sometime before 3:30, let's see, before 3:30, yeah, we'll get, when we get off the air, let's say we'll do this before 2, we'll have our giveaway. I don't know exactly when it'll be, but just keep listening. And what you're going to be calling for is a $25 gift card from Paisano's Pizza and Pasta, you know, the place that Yahoo ranked as 4th best pizza in the country. And when we do have that contest, you'll call the contest line and then wish a happy birthday to any or all of the following: Salman Rushdie, the author, the guy who had the fatwa against him a number of years ago. What was the name of that book? Do you remember, Dave Jennings? Can't recall. Anyway, Gina Rowlands or Paula Abdul, all three have birthdays. You have to wish a happy birthday to any or all of those people for our contest. So who is running for mayor in Chicago? You know the big names who've declared: Robert Fioretti, Robert Shaw. You know some of the undecided but leaning toward running candidates. The incumbent himself, Rahm Emanuel, I don't think he's officially declared yet. There's now the Chicago Teachers Union president, Karen Lewis. And until this week, there was the Cook County Board president, Toni Preckwinkle. She was thought to be on that list. She's now out. And you know, the funny thing is, almost always, it is a big name that wins. They get the media attention. They have the money. It's easier to build a campaign organization. And you know, in a pure democracy, wouldn't it be nice if, it would certainly be fair if campaigning didn't rely on all of that, and if every candidate had sort of an equal chance, money aside, to present themselves to the electorate. There are the hopeless also-rans. You remember Ray Wardingly, a.k.a. Spanky the Clown? He was sort of a perennial candidate for a number of years in Chicago. But there are also a lot of smart, earnest, good people with good ideas running who you really don't know much about because of that media and money problem, both otherwise thought to be necessary to be taken seriously. So there is a woman who is running with serious ideas of change. Her name is Amara Enya. She's from East Garfield Park. While she was the subject of a short profile in the Tribune, when she is mentioned, it seems, in the media, it's sort of at the end of an article about the bigger names who are being reported on. She's often referred to as little-known municipal consultant or community organizer. Well, let me talk as a skeptic to see if she has what it takes to win the mayoral race here in Chicago. Amara, good to have you in the studio. You and I spoke. It was another interview connection on Politics Tonight on CLTV. What was that, a couple of months ago?
Yep.
Let me be a skeptic. How do you get heard, and how do you get known if the media all but dismisses you?
We push back against that. So the most effective thing that we do is we talk to people. We get out into the neighborhoods every day, all day. We already know that there's a narrative that's generally being pushed. We know what we're fighting against. And so we also leverage alternative forms of media to get our message out. So we're not relying solely on traditional media to spread the word. And in a people-driven campaign, that people-to-people contact is actually the most effective way that we spread our message.
What about the money thing? Rahm has over $8 million. What did I see in your SEC filing? It was, or the, not the SEC, but you filed with just around, just under $4,000.
We had a few thousand dollars. And what we know is that we should actually be concerned about the fact that an incumbent would raise $1 million from eight people in under 10 days. What does that say about the state of our democracy and whose voices are allowed in democracy, in the democratic process? Are we saying that you have to have a certain amount of money to be able to participate in democracy? Those candidates, people who do have good ideas, people like myself who are willing to work and want to be public servants, we should be able to stand on the premise of that, as opposed to having to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars, because those are the people who have influence in government, and that's part of the problem.
Tragically, on the national scene, that is in federal elections, there is more money awash in elections these days because of recent Supreme Court discussions.
Yes.
And everybody knows that that is a corrupting influence.
Exactly.
But you're saying it exists, as we all well know, here on the municipal scale.
Yes. Yes, it certainly does. Citizens United was a very troubling case. But we, again, we have to say, what does this mean about our democracy? That only those who have money or the ability to raise millions and millions of dollars should have influence in the decisions that impact our lives? We've been living with that for the last 4 years, and arguably for the last several decades, where those who are fairly disconnected from the lives of average Chicagoans are the only ones who can buy influence in government. And so we're pushing back against that.
Carol Moraine, I don't know if you read her. I think you did read her column. Mm-hmm. It was in today's paper. I read it today.
Yes.
In the Sun-Times. She was talking about the drip, drip of death on our streets. She discusses the rightful global outrage because of that Malaysian airline crash. A lot of people, nearly 300, killed in an instant, all in one spot. There is upheaval of hand-wringing and anger around the world. But here in Chicago, more than 400 people a year are killed on our streets, our neighbors being killed on our streets. A lot of good ideas, a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of talk being spent on what needs to be done there. That 10-year-old girl we just heard in the newscast died today.
Yes.
At a slumber party, caught in the crossfire of a gang shooting.
Yes.
Convince me that you've got ideas on how to deal with the violence in Chicago.
Because we have to finally decide that we are willing to address the root cause of violence in this city, as opposed to focusing on the back end. So we've concentrated on policing, on gun laws and the like, but that doesn't address the root causes of violence. And until we decide as a city that we're willing to address the lack of investment in communities, that we're willing to address the lack of investment in human resources, that we're willing to address the issue that we have not really paid attention to, all of the deep-seated issues of poverty and inequity in the neighborhoods, that's the root issue of violence. And we cannot be concerned with doing what's politically expedient. And I think that's the problem that we've had, that our leadership is doing more that's politically expedient to preserve their positioning as an elected official instead of really getting to the heart of the issue.
All right, Amara, paint the picture for me. Fill in the blanks. Give me a sense of what you mean in how we need to reallocate resources to stem violence and deal with the cause and not the result.
Well, I'll give you a prime example. CPS just cut the last electricians program at Simeon High School. Now, we know that in order for people to be prepared for the economy, to be qualified to get jobs, especially in our communities, they need to have skills in addition to being able to graduate from high school. When people cannot work, that leads to them doing other things that leads to violence. So we have to invest in a comprehensive workforce development program that provides opportunities for people who currently live in Chicago in these neighborhoods. And they have to be skills-based jobs that do not require a four-year degree. That's just one area. When we cut programs to the Park District, when we slash the budget of our public schools and our kids don't have access to activities after school during the summer, what else are they going to do? It becomes much more attractive to go along with individuals who are not doing anything with their lives. And so when we look at those sorts of disinvestment in the community, that is contributing to the issue of violence.
All right, let's take a quick pause. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that same number. Amara, I want to ask you, when we come back, you said we need to invest in. Now that means, where's that money going to come from? Have you thought about the big picture, how government, the machinery of government would change so that there would be money to invest there? I want to hear about that coming up in just a moment. That's Amara Enya. She is running for mayor in the city of Chicago. She wants your vote. You want to challenge her or ask her a question? Feel free. 312-981-7200. I'm Bill Mahler here on 720 WGN Chicago. All right, Bill Mahler here till 3:30 today before we hand it off to the Sports Central guys. They're doing a live remote from the Hilton in Chicago. It's all about Sports Central with Kaz and Mem, and they're live at the Black Hawk Convention. Wouldn't you like to be there with them? We're talking right now with Amara Enya. She's running for mayor in Chicago. Not an also-ran. She's got a strong force about her, and I think that's important. Don't you think, Amara? You have to have a force of leadership, because if the ideas can't be sold to people with that conviction, they're not going to believe you can do it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I was asking you about how to pay for things, but here we've got a caller who, let's hear how he puts it on the air. Hi, John. You're on WGN. Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I read about the young lady that's with you and some of the other candidates, and yeah, I hear all about investment, and we've been hearing about investment in the poor neighborhoods of Chicago for the last 30 years. And I'll just put it to you this way. Where's all the money going to come from? The state is broke. The taxes in this city are unbelievable. My business, I've taken half my business out of the city. Thinking about we're taking the rest of it out. I mean, I hear her. A lot of people hear these ideas about turning around poverty and these neighborhoods where they're killing everybody left and right. But where is the money going to come from? Citizens of Chicago are taxed enough already.
Okay, Amara?
Well, I think it comes from, number one, a reallocation of our priorities. I mean, a budget it demonstrates what our priorities are as a city. So we're spending money. But you have to ask the question, if we can find $90 million to build another selective enrollment high school on the near north side where it's not needed, then why can't those same dollars be used to invest in some of the small business development that we could do on the southwest side of Chicago or the northwest side of Chicago? So it's not so much, there's one issue of finding revenue, identifying new streams of revenue, which I talk a lot about. But there's also this issue of how do we reallocate our dollars so that they're used more efficiently? And we've got a number of projects that have been done this year. We can look at the DePaul Stadium, where we're using tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money to build a stadium. How can we reallocate those dollars so that it has a much more beneficial impact for the people of this city? That's the question. And as far as small businesses and businesses in general, there are a lot of things that we can do as a city to make businesses much more sustainable so that you're getting the bang for your buck when you are paying your taxes. And that's something that we don't pay attention to as a city. And because I work with small businesses every day, I see the struggle it is for you to make your way in the city in addition to paying taxes. So that's something that we have not prioritized as a city, but we need to do to make sure that our businesses are also staying here.
Amara, do you more fully answer John's question on your website? Are there like position papers, white papers there?
Yes, there are interviews, there are articles, there are a lot of our key policy areas that we've put on the website, we've put on all of our social media at amaraforchicago.com.
John, good question. Thanks for calling. Hey, Linda, you're on WGN.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Amara, I was just wondering, do you think that the recent O'Hare Airport noise will be a topic that you might be addressing for those people east of the airport?
Well, it's definitely been an issue that's come up. I think it's an area of concern primarily for the residents in those wards. I'm not sure that it would come up to the level of being a mayoral topic. I can't say that. But I think that it's been an important issue for the residents of those wards. And I know that there are conversations taking place with the aldermen on how they would address that issue.
And it's a big issue in Bensonville.
Yes.
And it was our mayor who got the runway deal to build more runways to realign where the planes are landing and taking off that has caused problems.
Exactly.
And the Fair Coalition has tried to reach out to Rahm Emanuel 7 times for meetings, and so far nothing.
Well,
So I know you get the ears of a lot of constituents in that area if you at least brought it to light.
Well, I think this is something that the mayor should be concerned about, particularly because of his involvement. But I think this characterizes his administration, where he's been largely unresponsive to the needs of constituents all across the city. And that's why the change that we're talking about is so critical, because we want to make sure that people's voices are being heard on the issues that are most important to them, particularly around this O'Hare issue.
Okay, Linda, thanks. Right. Glad you called. Tom, real quick, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Charter schools, TIFs.
What's your position, Amara?
I support a moratorium on charter schools because I think we need to fully invest in our public neighborhood schools first and foremost. We cannot create a dual education system. TIFs, there are
which is tax increment financing, special neighborhood tax districts that are used for specific allocation of money.
Exactly. The two major problems with TIF, the way TIF dollars are used is a lack of accountability in how those dollars are used and the lack of oversight in who is making decisions about how those dollars are used. We should be actually using TIFs according to the original purpose, which was to develop and spur economic development in blighted areas. However, we know that that is largely not happening. There's a lack of oversight and accountability in who's making decisions about how TIF dollars are spent. And we need to make sure that the public, because these are public dollars, is very much involved in the in how those dollars are spent in their communities.
Amara, what's your website?
www.amara4chicago.com. That's F-O-R.
And it's also A-M-A-R-A.
Yes.
All right. We're going to have you back. A lot of people want to talk to you. We just didn't have enough time to get through them all. Amara, thank you.
Thank you.